thank you for gathered this morning to join us. This is my final Lord's Day amongst you. And our prayer is that God will meet with us today, that his presence will fill this place. And if you're listening in, if you don't know the Saviour, that you will come to know our Saviour this morning. We'll join in the singing of the Shepherd's Psalm. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And we'll sing it as only Ballygowan can sing it. And I know you will sing it. Singing the ladies coming in and then everyone joining on the final line as well. Okay. Eternal loving Father and gracious God, we thank thee for that day when in thy grace thou didst save us. We thank thee, Lord, for that moment when as a boy of 11 thou didst bring us to Christ. And we thank thee, O God, for godly parents who taught us the way. We thank thee, Lord, for a godly wife that has stood by us all these years. The memory of her parents too come flooding back with their love and wisdom too. We thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity given to us to be a servant of Christ in the several churches where we've ministered. And we thank thee for these 18 years almost in this place. We love this place, Lord. We love these people. And Father, we pray today that the presence of God will fill this place. That thou wilt be here as never before. We thank thee, O God, for every soul that has sought Christ within these walls and through the witness of this church. We thank thee for faithful elders, members of committee past and present. The memory of those godly men called to glory who served in oversight of this church. And those who would love to be with us today, but because of infirmity they cannot. Think of our brother Carl especially. O Lord, we pray for him, that thou wilt comfort him and be with him and bless him. And others of our congregation who now, because of age, cannot join with us. And some who will link into the service by means of the internet. We pray that thou wilt bless all today who are listening in. Remember every family. We pray that thou wilt meet every need of every individual, those who are sick. We pray for healing. Remember Mr. Conn today, he'd love to be here, but because of recent illness, cannot, and his wife. We remember, O God, others that we've been praying for. We pray for Mrs. Steele too, and we think of Mrs. Moore. And we think of Drew and his recent sorrow. Comfort him. Lord, we thank thee for the memory of our sister Isabel, our sister Mary, these servants of God who've gone home to glory, and many others through the years. O God, we pray that thou wilt give grace and comfort. Remember our sister Pamela, I've been praying for. Remember her today. We pray that thou wilt comfort her and be with her. And Lord, remember the work of God and the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt help us today. That thou wilt anoint us today. Bless those who will minister in a moment in song. That thou wilt fill them with the Holy Spirit. That thou wilt use them. That they may be effective witnesses for the Lord today. And be blessed even from thine almighty hand. We give thee thanks. Thanks be unto God for all his mercies. And thank you, Lord, for the grace of God in our lives. We praise thee. Hide us behind the cross. We're not nobodies. We're nothings. But Lord, use us. Even this day, we pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll join the singing of another hymn, 542. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We'll stand and sing this hymn, and then we'll have messages and song from the Ballygown Trio, from Susan, Nessie and Joe, and we're delighted because it's since before COVID they ministered to us regularly, but since that they haven't been until today, and I'm delighted that they've been able to participate this morning in our service, and they're going to minister a couple of pieces now and then they'll sing a piece right at the end of the service as well. 542, we'll stand after the introduction and sing together.
Yeah. Shepherd, do not leave me. I need your eyes to help me find my way. Gentle Shepherd, do not leave me. I need your feet that I may never stray. In your pasture there is manna for my hungry, thirsty soul. There is refuge and tender mercy. There is love like I have never known.
If I wander from your pathway, Lord, lead me back into the fold. Gentle Shepherd, great for everything dear to my soul.
In your pasture there is manna for my hungry, thirsty soul. There is
Mr. Smiley, for the privilege of being allowed to sing at this special service this morning. But we want to thank you, Mr. Smiley, for your ministry here in Ballygowan over the years and for your love to each one of us. You've helped us celebrate the good times, and you've been there for each one of us to hold our hand in our darkest days. To quote somebody I know well, "Well, I miss you, Mr. Smiley, but wish you every blessing in your retirement." The piece we're going to sing now is "All the Way My Saviour Leads."
All the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
All the way my Savior leads me, tears each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be,
gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal brings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. All the way.
If you'd like to turn with me to in your hymn books, the number 430, 430. And we'll all stand and sing this lovely piece, All the Way My Savior Lead Me. We'll do the first and the third verse. Just
Trio for ministering to us and for the words spoken by Susan. I appreciate those words as well. Well, boys and girls, And way back in 2004, a lady approached me after the morning service. I was just into the pastorate here in Ballygan, and she said, "Mr. Smiley, would you do a children's address?" And that lady was Mae Gibson. And of course, her husband, a late elder of our church, Bob Gibson. You always remember the man with the green jacket? He used to have a green jacket, and he would lead the singing before the service, and he always said the first and last verse. And he was known as the first and last. Our brothers in glory, of course, for many years, but may ask me. And so from that day to this, I've been, I don't know what the next minister will do now. Have to have a wee word in his ear. But hello, boys and girls, this morning again. Now, we're thinking about just a few things this morning. We're all sinners, boys and girls. It's a very simple thing, but it's a very true thing, because we're all born into this world and we're sinners in God's sight. We're sinners by nature and by practice. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners, boys and girls. No matter what our background may be, no matter what our situation of life may be, we're sinners in God's sight. The next thing, boys and girls, we have a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, to meet us at the point of our need, to take away our sin, to deal with all the wrongs that we have in our lives, and to take all our sins away and to give us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, boys and girls, this morning, we have a Savior. And just let me ask you, do you know that Savior this morning? Is he your Savior? Well, if he's not your Savior, he can become your Savior today, because we need his salvation, boys and girls. That's the final thing. We need his salvation. And boys and girls, we can get his salvation if we come to the Savior and we ask him to come into our lives and to take our sins away. And I trust, boys and girls, whatever your age is this morning, you're listening to this simple message to you, that you will come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior this morning. Goodbye, boys and girls. No more stories from Mr. Smiley. But boys and girls, I trust the Lord will bless you in the days ahead. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, and we sing it often here, and we'll sing it through just the once, but we'll do all the actions, just keeping our seats as we sing, "Jesus' love is very wonderful." We've got even wider on Wednesday night. But thank you, boys and girls, for all your listening over the years. Now we're going to ask our Director of Session, James, to come and give the necessary announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. We do give everyone a warm welcome. We're glad to see visitors in with us this morning. We do give you a special welcome, joining with us, those listening in online. We extend to you also a very warm welcome. Thank you for joining with us today for the final services with our minister, the Reverend Smiley, before his retirement. Now, I'm sure you're already aware it's an emotional time for him and his wife. We pray that the Lord will give him that help today in the proclamation of the Word. 6 p.m. tonight, ladies, men, we need you here on the premises to help with final preparations regarding the supper. If you could be here, we would appreciate that, please. 6:30, the prayer meeting in the prayer room upstairs. If you're not involved in those preparations, make it up to the prayer meeting and seek God's face at the throne of grace. At 7 p.m., the gospel evening service, and our minister will be bringing his final message in the gospel. Everyone is welcome to join with us for that. At the end of the meeting, there will be a few presentations made, and then supper will be provided afterwards. The Reverend Samuel Murray, who has been appointed interim moderator of the congregation until we appoint a new minister and vote for one, he will be along tonight to lead that meeting. And there will also be special messages in song. So if you could come, do come, please do. As I say, the supper will be held over in the church hall. If you're not able to stay for supper, and we appreciate that, Mr. Smiley will be going to the door anyway, and you will be able to speak with him there. Then he'll be coming over into the hall, and you will have opportunity to speak with him there. Building fund offerings today. We pray that you'll give as the Lord has prospered you, and those baskets will be at the doors, the exit doors, as you leave the service today. Just one thing, Wednesday night, folks, is the prayer meeting and Bible study. We're having to change that from a Tuesday night. The Reverend Murray's prayer meeting down in Port of Ogie is also on a Tuesday night, so the session have granted that we can change that to the Wednesday night. So do remember, going forward, from now on, the prayer meeting and Bible study on a Wednesday night, and the Reverend Murray will be along to speak at that meeting. We will be holding it here just in the main church building. So do join with us, please, at that time. Friday night at 8 o'clock, young people, please take note of the Youth Council National Rally being held in our Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, especially for you. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of September, at 10 a.m. Sunday school recommences for the new term. Parents, please remember that and do send your children along. 11 a.m. the prayer meeting before the morning service up in the prayer room. 11:30 a.m. family worship, and the preacher will be the Reverend Samuel Murray. 6:30, the season of prayer. 7 p.m. Reverend Murray will be along to preach the gospel at the evening service. Do remember these meetings. Do plan to attend. Do be with us, please. Then just a couple of other dates for you to remember. Monday the 12th of September, we'll announce it again next Lord's Day, the Whitfield College and Graduation Service, where commencement and graduation service will be held in the Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. DV in the will of God. The Reverend John Armstrong, the moderator of our church, will be preaching, and everyone will be made welcome. Monday the 19th of September, the Mothers and Toddlers is recommencing, and if you can help with regard to that, please see Louise and approach her, please. Commencement dates for the other church works are still being finalised. Once we know those dates, we will let you know those as soon as possible. Continue to remember those of the congregation who are sick. Mr. Smiley has alluded to some of them in his opening prayer. Those in hospital, those in nursing homes, those in their own homes. Do remember them, please, at the throne of heavenly grace. We have a special occasion today in our own congregation as well. Just passing, Robbie and Elizabeth Catterson are celebrating today their 50th wedding anniversary. And so we want to pass on to Robbie and Elizabeth on behalf of the minister, the Kirk Session Committee and congregation, we pass on to them our congratulations for reaching this milestone in their lives. I was tempted to ask Robbie how he stuck it for so long, but I didn't want to appear anything, but I've said it now. Elizabeth will kick me afterwards, but that's okay. We do pass on our congratulations. Pardon? The Reverend Greenfield is holding up its hand for guilty. Guilty, Your Honour. He was the one that married them. So maybe he'll get a kicking as well outside. I don't know. But just to pass on our congratulations to you. Maybe saw the photograph on the church WhatsApp. They went out for a meal. They didn't invite anybody else. I can eat well, but I trust they had a good evening. Just one other thing before I sit down. We want to refer just to the dinner on Wednesday evening. We had a very good dinner. Most people were there. They enjoyed it. The feedback was good. And I think we had a good night. But we want to pay acknowledgement and tribute. There was a lot of work went on in the background. And some men were spending into the early hours of the morning sorting out some things. And we want to pay tribute to them, to Ruth, who wrote a lot of the place cards that you saw on the table in front of you. They were chopping and changing. And we appreciate her help in that. And there were others who did things who just want to remain anonymous. But they did it as a service unto the Lord and as a service towards the Reverend and Mrs. Smiley. And I think everyone will agree it was a good night and we certainly enjoyed the time of fellowship together for that. Just another little thing I want to say, just at the end of the service, after Joe and Susan and Nessie sing, there is a small tribute, but I will make an announcement just about that after they sing this evening. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank James, and thank you all for Wednesday night as well. And of course, I'm wearing my watch this morning, beautiful watch that was given to me. My wife's wearing hers. So if you want to see it, you didn't see it afterwards. It was in the box. You couldn't have saw it. But anyway, you can see it today. And we thank the session committee and congregation for their kindness and loads of other cards. I think we were up to 3 o'clock in the morning. Looking at all the cards and trying to message people and thank them for all their kindness, and we do appreciate all of that and thank you in the Lord's name. Now we're going to sing another hymn, "A Church of God, Beloved and Chosen, Church of Christ for Whom He Died." We'll stand and sing this hymn before we come to the sermon this morning. 620, it's on the screen or in your book, 620. We'll stand after the introduction. want to join in the congratulations to Robbie and Elizabeth on their 50th wedding anniversary. And a very joyous occasion for them today. I'm happy to share my retirement with your happy day, and trust that the Lord will bless you, and I rejoice in that united family, what God has done for this family. We thank you in the Lord's name for all your support too. It's good to see the MP for the area, Sir Jim Shannon, with us this morning. We welcome Jim, and we trust the Lord will bless him as he is gathered with us here in our worship this morning. A good friend of mine also, whom I've coffee with many times, Jim, he's up in the gallery there. And if you want to find us any morning, not every morning, but you'll find him there every morning, but quite a few mornings, I joined Jim for a cup of coffee. And you remember that we prayed for his daughter Harriet, and the Lord answered prayer for Harriet, and continue to pray for her that the Lord's healing. And delighted that Jim has been able to join us this morning in our service. We welcome him in the Lord's name. We're reading together some verses from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and reading together from verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Let us hear the word of God this morning. And here's Paul, of course, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that are with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all our hearts. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail.
words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak to you briefly this morning from this portion of God's word that we have read from in Acts chapter 20. Paul's last words to the Ephesian church. That's the subject this morning. Farewells are difficult. And often, as you've probably already seen this morning, emotion takes over. And of course, emotion is in our hearts today as we say farewell to this congregation. But the main thing for me is to draw your attention to the Word of God, which I have endeavored to do every week that I've been here for the past almost 18 years. Of course, we reflect upon the years we have spent with you. We review the past. We remember the joyous times, the times of sorrow too. In all of this, we want to give all the glory to God. And we never seek to steal the glory for ourselves. Paul said in Galatians 6 and 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In the book of Acts, Luke reports 8 messages given by Paul to various people. And one of those messages is this farewell message to the church at Ephesus here in Acts chapter 20. His address to these Ephesian elders is unique in that it reveals Paul the pastor rather than Paul the evangelist or Paul the defender. And the message enables us to get a glimpse of how Paul ministered as a pastor for 3 years at Ephesus. Now, I could never step into Paul's shoes this morning. He was unique in so many ways. A powerful preacher, a great evangelist, and a missionary. But I want to use Paul's farewell address as the basis of my farewell address to you this morning here in Ballygan FPC. There are 3 things that I want to basically leave with you from this portion of Scripture this morning. First of all, in verses 18 to 21 of Acts 20, Paul deals with the past. His dealing with the past. That's the first point. Paul was not one to work into his ministry gradually, like a diplomat, feeling his way. But the Bible tells us here, from the first day, verse 18, he gave himself unsparingly to the work of the Lord in Ephesus. For Paul was an ambassador, not a diplomat. From my first day amongst you in 2004, I have sought to give myself, God helping me, to the work here in this place. I have sought to give 100% to the Lord's work and to the pastoral ministry and preaching of God's word. First of all, you'll notice the motive for Paul's ministry here in the phrase, serving the Lord, verse 19. He was not interested in making money. He said in verse 33, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He wasn't interested in enjoying an easy life. He was a bondslave of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, where Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul was careful to let people know that his motives for the ministry were spiritual. They were not selfish. If you take time to read the first epistle to the Thessalonians in the chapter 2 and the verses 1 to 13, you will discover that. The spiritual ministry that Paul sought to have, and so the motive for his ministry. And I trust that has been our motive here as well. Secondly, the manner of his ministry, verses 18 to 19 of the portion, and the manner of his ministry was exemplary. He lived a consistent life which anybody could inspect. He had nothing to hide. He served in humility. He wasn't a kind of religious celebrity demanding that others serve him. No, he was among them as one that served. He had a lowly service. He was a humble man. And yet he had such great powers of and great ability. But he was humble about it. The Bible tells us here, with all humility of mind, he served the Lord, verse 19. He wasn't full of pride. He was full of humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. Oh, that we might be humble this morning. And I trust I've been amongst you as one that has served. I trust I've been amongst you as a lowly servant. But then, he was one who had godly sorrow. He served them with many tears. The Bible tells us here as well. They had seen his frequent tears. He wept over their sins. He wept with them in their sadness. He had gone forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And my friend, I trust that my ministry has had that example of weeping with you when you were weeping, of sorrowing with you when you sorrowed, of being with you in your sickness, of helping you in your distress. At all seasons, this was the case with Paul. He says, you know, this has been the case, verse 18. And so we have not only the manner of his ministry, but we have the message of his ministry, verses 20 to 21. You see, this was widely known because Paul announced it. I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He told the sinners to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a mighty testimony. This message of the grace of God. And that's the message that we have preached from this pulpit. And that's the message that I will continue to preach wherever I have opportunity to preach during times of retirement. It is the message of repentance. That you need to repent of your sins. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to turn from your sins. And you need to turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. He reminded them that in his ministry, he had held back nothing that was profitable. He declared unto them, verse 27, all the counsel of God. Oh yes, Paul had a balanced message that included the doctrines and the duties, as well as the privileges and the responsibilities that belong to the Christian life. In his preaching, he never compromised, nor did he go to extremes, but kept things in balance. And that's so important as far as the ministry is concerned, keeping things in balance. That's what Paul did. And Paul was seeking to witness both to Jews and to Gentiles. That was a very difficult task. You think things are difficult in Northern Ireland to keep a balance? Well, think of what Paul was facing. The Jews and the Gentiles. It wasn't certainly a harmonious relationship between those two groups. But of course, to know what Paul set before these Ephesian Christians, we can explore all his epistles. But especially the epistle to the Ephesians. The teaching of Ephesians revolves around the Christian's wealth, the Christian's walk, and the Christian's warfare. And of all Paul's letters, his Ephesian letter climbs the highest heights and plunges to the deepest depths. It embraces the profoundest truths. Paul kept nothing back. And I trust that that has been so as far as my ministry here among you is concerned. But then you'll notice, secondly, his declaration about the present, verses 22 to 27. You notice the word behold, and when the word behold is used, as it is here in verse 25, he says, and now behold, there's something important that Paul is going to say. And so he shifts the emphasis from the past to the present. As he opens his heart and tells his friends how he feels. And in doing so, my friends, this morning, he uses six graphic pictures of his ministry to explain why he would not quit, why he would go on to die if necessary for the faith. Paul would say, none of these things move me. Because he knew what it was to be a minister of Christ, called of Christ, a true servant of Christ. Paul saw himself, first of all, the first picture is that of the accountant. In verse 24, he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. An accountant is one, of course, who examines the assets and the liabilities. And so Paul was the accountant, as it were, in the spiritual realm. He examined his assets and liabilities. He decided to put the Lord Jesus Christ ahead of everything else. He put the Lord first. And I say to you folk, as I leave you after tonight, I pray that you'll put the Lord first. That this church will put the Lord first. That you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Paul said in Philippians 3, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so there's the picture of the accountant here. But then there's the picture of the athlete who wanted to finish the course. The Bible speaks here and he says, none of these things move me, verse 24, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. And you'll notice here the three phrases, my life, my course, the ministry. They're all in this verse. They're key to Paul's life. Paul, you see, realized that his life was God's gift to him. That God had a special plan for his life and it would be fulfilled in his ministry. As a teenager, listening to the late Dr. Alan Kearns preach at a youth rally on the Ravenhill Road in the old church hall, I realized that night, sitting on the stairway, I could still visualize where I was sitting. A crowded building, and there was I, 17 years of age, and I realized God had a plan for my life. The rest is history. God showed me that I was to serve the Lord, and I've been doing that, folks, since I was saved, of course, but for all of these 43 and a half years of ministry. The accountant, the athlete, the steward, that's the next picture. He talks about that which he received, his ministry, which he received of the Lord. And so he had a stewardship given to him. And the steward owns little or nothing, but he possesses all things. His sole purpose is to serve his master and to please him. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
And the steward will one day have to give account of his ministry. And Paul was ready for that day. And I trust, dear friends, that I'm ready for that day. That when I stand before God and give account of to how I've ministered to you folk, that I will be able to give a good account of my ministry, of my service amongst you, my service for the Lord Jesus. And so there's the accountant, there's the athlete, there's the steward, but then there's the witness. Verse 24, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And that word means there to solemnly give witness. It reminds us of the seriousness of the message and of the ministry. And as we share the gospel with others, it is a matter of life and death. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 2:15 to 16. He said, the gospel is to some a savour of death unto death. To others it is to life unto life. In other words, some accept the gospel and some reject it. What have you done this morning? Are you still rejecting the gospel? Are you still in your sin? Have you still rejected Christ? Has the gospel to you been a savour of death? But thank God it can be a savour of life this morning. You can come to know Christ as your Savior. Paul was a faithful witness, both in the life that he lived and the message that he preached. But then there's the other one here, a further one, verse 25. He was a preacher preaching. That means he was a herald to declare a message as the herald of the king. You know, the witness tells what has happened to him, but the herald tells what the king has told him to declare. He's a man commissioned and sent with a message, and he must not change it in any way. And my friend, when I was ordained to Christian ministry way back in 1979, in a place called Carrigarry in County Monaghan, if you don't know where it is, Cecil Lancashire will tell you exactly where it is, because he came from that part of the world. And that's where I was ordained to the ministry. And from that day, I have been carrying forth the message of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then there's the watchman, verse 26. He talks here, wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. You see, there's the thought here of being a watchman. A watchman on the walls. And what a serious calling a watchman has. He has to stay awake. He has to stay alert. He has to sound the alarm when the enemy's approaching, when danger's coming. He has to be faithful, not fearful, because the safety of many people rested with him. Paul was a faithful watchman, watching for the souls of men and women. And dear friends, that's what I've been doing all these years, trying to watch for your soul. And if you're not yet saved, I'm still watching for your soul today, that even this very day you might come to Christ, that even before we finish our ministry, you might trust the Savior. A group of servicemen asked their new chaplain if he believed in a real hell for lost sinners. And he smiled and said he didn't. Then they replied, you're wasting your time. If there's no hell, we don't need you. If there is a hell, you're leading us astray. So pack your bags and go. Friend, I have been a watchman telling you maybe some things that you didn't like to hear, but you needed to hear. Faithful as a watchman to tell you of the judgment, and to warn you of your need to come to Christ this morning. I haven't changed. Maybe if you look at me, you say you have changed since 2004. Yes. But I haven't changed as far as the message is concerned. But then finally, and briefly, there are the directives about the future, verses 28 to 38. You see, Paul brought his farewell message to a close by warning the leaders of the dangers they had to recognize to deal with if they were to protect and lead the church. And thank God for good elders here in this church, men of God who have stood with me faithfully, and those who have gone to glory too, who have been faithful through the years. But men, and all of you today, let us understand the dangers that there are. There are dangers around us. He spoke about the wolves in verse 29. They want to ravage the flock. He's referring to the false teachers, the counterfeits who exploit the church for personal gain. Those who will teach false doctrine. Those who are corrupt teachers who will turn the ears of many away from the truth. There are dangers around. But there are dangers amongst us, verse 30. Those in the midst who would be ambitious to get a position of power. I'm not saying that is the case here, but it does happen in the church. The Bible speaks in 3 John verses 9 to 11 of Diotrephes, who loved the preeminence. He wanted position. He wanted power in the church. It's shocking to realize that more than one false prophet got his or her start within the Christian church. That's where they started, and then they became false prophets. So it's very important. There are dangers around us. There are dangers among us. Those who creep in unawares to turn the ears of many away from the truth. There are dangers within us. Paul said here, and if you look at verses 31 to 35, we haven't time to go into it in detail, but in verse 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." And he names five sins that are especially destructive to the life and ministry of spiritual leaders. Carelessness is one. Verse 31. Watch and remember. You know, it's easy for us to forget the toil and tears of those who have labored before us. Faithful men and women who sat in these pews, who prayed, who gave their money, who sacrificed much to so that we have this beautiful building here today. Right from the beginning, let us not be careless. Paul's warning and weeping should be constant reminders to us to take our spiritual responsibility seriously. And then there's shallowness, verse 32. You see, "I commend you to God and the word of God," he says, "and the word of his grace." And these two must always work together. The word of God alone is able to edify and enrich us. And the spiritual leader must spend time before God in his word and prayer. Those two are linked together. Let us not be shallow. Let the church never become shallow. There's out there this thing about shallow, this is cool. This is the cool thing. This is what we want. This is how we would be entertained. No, my friend. This is a day for depth. Spiritual depth in the word and prayer. And then covetousness. The third sin we must avoid. Verse 33. Thou shalt not covet. It's the last of the Ten Commandments. But if we end up coveting, we break the other nine. For those who covet will steal and lie and murder to get what they want. They will even dishonor their own parents to get what they want. But the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. Ephesians 5, verse 5. And the qualifications of an elder is especially stated in 1 Timothy 3, verse 3, that the elder must not be guilty of the sin of covetousness. Covetousness, thou shalt not covet. And then there's laziness. You see, Paul earned his own way, verse 34, as a tent maker. He could have used his apostolic authority to demand support and thereby have an easier life. It's not wrong, of course, for Christian workers to receive salaries. The laborer is worthy of his hire, the Bible teaches. But they should also be those who will work, who are laborers, not be lazy. The ministry is not a lazy man's work. It ought not to be. I tell students in our college and young men who come into the ministry, if you're lazy, don't even think about it. Lazy men don't make good ministers. Lazy men don't make good anything. Laziness. Selfishness. Verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive. True ministry means giving, not getting. It means following the example of Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's been called, these words have been called the supreme beatitude. It tells us how to be more blessed. More blessed. It's better to share with others than to keep what we have to collect more. In other words, the blessing does not come in accumulating wealth, but in sharing it. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. One of the best commentaries on this statement, of course, is there in Luke 12, and the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, and to give the example of the rich man. He was thinking about his barns and thinking about building greater and thinking about all that he was going to do, and he hadn't taken note about his soul and thought about his soul. And God said, this night, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And so Paul's farewell finished by kneeling down and praying for his friends, and they all wept together. There's been some weeping this morning. Been weeping in our house, probably in your houses too. Many tears have been shed over a long, long time. But friend, we will miss you all. You are our friends for life. But I wonder, will I see you again? Will I meet you again? I will meet all those who are saved. I hope I'll meet you down here too. But friend, if you're not saved, I won't meet you in eternity. I pray that today you will seek the Lord and trust in him as your Savior. Meanwhile, there's a job to be done. Folks in Ballygowan FPC, get on with it. Don't quit. As a friend of mine says, he's a bit of a wit. He says, keep her lit. Keep her lit. Keep the fire burning. I know, Mr. Murray, keep your feet to the fire. I know him well enough to know that. I know the elders well enough to know that they will take the church forward. The members of this church too. And so it's just goodbye. Well, tonight it will be. Or good night. We'll meet you either on this side or on the other side. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. The trio will come and sing, and then James will introduce the final part. Thank you.
Story. This is my
wounds of rapture not burst on my side. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my sin my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Folks, we don't want to detain you any unnecessarily. Just, there was one announcement I forgot to make. One of the speakers on Wednesday night was Mr. Smiley's brother, the Reverend William Smiley, who worked for many years with the Slavic Gospel Mission. There are some little leaflets sitting on the table. I've omitted to mention that, but feel free to avail yourself of one of those. Last Sunday morning, I was approached by an individual, asked me to read something which they had penned themselves, and they wanted it read. They wanted someone else to read it. I went home, looked at it, thought over it, and contacted them and spoke to them and said, look, they're your thoughts. It would be better coming from yourself. And so this week, Angela, who wrote the words, Angela McBurney, has kindly said that she will come up. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to ask her to come forward. Lucy's coming as well. She's coming to give Mum support, to hold her hand, and she's going to say some things as well from that. So we will ask you to come forward now, please. Thank you very much.
These are just some thoughts and words to describe the Reverend Smiley and his time in Ballygowan and what he has meant to us all. taking the letters of the word faithful. Faithful friend, faithful to the people, to the congregation, to the church organisations and the meetings of the church, to the sick, to the backslider, to the sinner, faithful to God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant.
Attentive to the congregation, remembering recent troubles, sicknesses or family issues, visiting and sharing the hope of the gospel in times of need and God's goodness towards us. James chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up.
Interested in us and encouraging us in our faith with prayerful support and conversation, not forgetting telephoning us several times during the COVID-19 pandemic when the church was closed, previously and since, always willing to visit us in our homes or in hospital with Bible in hand to build us up and give us hope and assurance of God's help. Psalm chapter 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul.
Tenacious, never gives up and never stops trying to win souls for Christ, including our loved ones. They were not forgotten because they were not at church. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Honourable, first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ, author and finisher of our faith, also to Queen and Country, marking many royal milestones and also remembering the fallen of our country, both during world wars and the troubles in Ulster. A caring and passionate supporter of the people in Ukraine and the House of Hope endeavour. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Friend, like Abraham, the friend of God and father of the faithful, a smiling face, a ready ear, and a great friend to all of us in Ballygowan.
We all will be the poorer without his loving kindness. John chapter 15, verse 15. But I have called you friends.
For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
Unabated, your ministry has continued through many years with God's help and strength until retirement. Your passion for the lost has remained steadfast throughout that time. Like Moses, when he died at 120 years old, the Bible says his eye was not dim, nor was his natural force abated. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Loved, we have been loved by you during your ministry, and in return we have loved you. Church of God, beloved and chosen, Church of Christ for whom he died, claim thy gifts and praise the giver. Ye are washed and sanctified. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us.
So finally, we thank you for being our faithful pastor, teacher, helper and friend for all of these past almost 18 years. And we thank God for you and your dear wife, Mrs. Smiley, who has also been a caring, faithful friend to us all and one who loves a wee chat, and that I'm going to miss. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Let's just bow together, please, and we word a prayer as we bring the service to a close. Our gracious God and our loving and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy presence with us. We realise, O God, that it is thy presence and thy presence alone that maketh a feast. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion we have been singing together. We praise thee, our God, for the special ministry and song. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word from thy servant. And we thank thee, Lord, for that word afresh to our hearts. And for this lovely tribute. And our Father, we give thee thanks for all thy goodness to us. And Lord, we pray today that you'll bless thy servant, the Reverend Smiley, and his dear wife. We pray, O God, that thy gracious hand would be upon them in the days that lie ahead. We thank thee, Lord, for him, for his faithful ministry of the word of God, for his faithfulness and pastoral visitation, for all the interest and the love and the care that he has shown to the people of God in this corner of thy vineyard. And our Father, we just pray that you will bless Mr. and Mrs. Smiley in this next phase in their lives, that you'll watch over them, that you'll bless them, that in the days that lie ahead they might continue to know thy blessing and thy presence. And our Father, in any way that her brother would be serving thee, even from our presbytery or preaching round our churches, we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be near to him. We thank thee, Lord, for those in this congregation who have come to know Christ as your own and personal Saviour through the faithful preaching of the gospel of thy servant. We thank thee, Lord, for every exhortation that has gone forth from thy servant to bring men and women, whether publicly here in the house of God or privately house to house. Lord, we pray that it might be heeded and that those who are still outside of Christ may come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Lord, bless us throughout the remainder of this day. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the meeting tonight. Draw near to thy servant. Give him help and strength and power, we pray. And grant, O God, that even this day on his final Sabbath here in Ballygowan, Lord, that he might know the anointing of the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word, bring sinners to Christ, restore the backslidden in heart, and Lord, be with your people. Separate us now with thy blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us all. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.